Welcome everybody to episode 14, season 2, episode 4.
Affinity.
You know, we're still going to iron this out in the details. Today we have with us Andy. Andy is with Tablet Command. As all of you know, our job on the Functional Firefighter Framework is to disseminate information out to you all as far as the health and safety of all fire personnel. So we thought that bringing Tablet Command on help us realize what technology is out there to provide a safer emergency scene for us all. Tablet Command came to mind, so we kind of reached out, and they agreed to join us today. So, Andy, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me on. I always enjoy talking to fellow firefighters, and definitely enjoy talking to you guys about Tablet Command.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So with that, why don't you give us a little introduction to who you are, what Tablet Command does.
Okay. My name's Andy Bozzo. I've been in the fire service since 1998. I started out as a seasonal firefighter for Cal Fire. Did that for a couple seasons, and then my wife got a job in the Pacific Northwest, so I started taking tests up there. I worked as a firefighter in the Pacific Northwest for almost 8 years in the municipal setting, first with what is now Puget Sound Fire, kind of that county model in the Seattle metro area. And I was also simultaneously on the list for Tacoma Fire Department. So I was a Tacoma firefighter for 4.5 years, you know, all successful probations up there. But as life would have it, my wife got itchy feet and she wanted to move back to the sunshine and closer to my family in California. And I, you know, sort of left Cal Fire kicking and screaming anyway. I love that whole urban-rural interface model that comes along with just being a firefighter in California, no matter if you're LA City or San Francisco or Oakland or, you know, Contra Costa County. So I got a job with Contra Costa County. I was lucky enough to get hired, pass probation successfully there in 2007, and I've been there ever since. I'm currently working as a battalion chief. I was about 10 years as a captain on our urban search and rescue engines, and you know, most recently in Antioch on Engine 82, you know, out there in the heat, a lot of activity out there. And I'm now a battalion chief. I said I would never do it, but I'm doing it. I actually really enjoy it. It's very similar to me to being a coach, which I do on my free time, my spare time. I'm really passionate about coaching sports, youth sports, and this is very, very similar, and it still allows me to be on the front lines with my people, whom I love very much, and now seeing it from a different perspective. So Tablet Command came to be in 2007. I made the switch from Tacoma to Contra Costa County. Had to repeat probation because at the time lateral firefighting wasn't really a thing. Our lateral transfers weren't really a thing. They are now left, right, and center because of the big job vacancies, but they weren't back then. So I was a recruit in the academy. I already had, you know, almost 8 years of municipal firefighting and a lot of structured fires under my belt. Tacoma was a very active city, as were parts of Kent and you know, where I'd come from. And so I'd had, you know, a few structure fires under my belt, and two of our own firefighters at Contra Costa County got killed in the line of duty. And it was, when you look at the house where they got killed, you wonder how. It was a very, very, by appearances, bread and butter house fire, but it really wasn't. When you look at the NIOSH report, you know, just there were things in the accident chain that just kept on adding up and taking on its own momentum. And in the end, there were, I'm going to get this number reasonably correct, but I believe there were 116, initially 134 recommendations. They got pared down to 116 recommendations to our organization. I think about 30 plus were around communications and incident command and the lack thereof. So all those NIOSH 5 components certainly came into play for our own department with regard to incident command, accountability. Some of it had to do with tactics, but it all funneled into communications. And so having worked in Tacoma and having, you know, gone to fires, I was approached. I actually ended up working in the stations where our guys lost their lives. It was an eerie feeling, but it was one of our busier fire stations with regards to going to structured fires. I've always been attracted to those stations throughout my career. I kind of grew up, you know, in like the college setting and stuff. And so it would have been easy to sort of like go to quieter stations and not run in many calls. But I really wanted to try to at least attempt to do the job for real in the busiest setting that I could do it in for my department. And by no means am I saying my station is one of the busiest in the country. It wasn't, but it was the busiest for our agency, Station 70. We were, for one engine, we were running about 4,100 calls a year, which I think is a decent clip on the national, you know, it's, but again, it's not the busiest. I started working out there as a firefighter. I got approached by a battalion chief after this report, and he said, "Hey, you worked for Tacoma and Kent Fire." And I said, "Yeah, I did." He goes, "Well, what did you guys do for accountability there?" And we were rolling passport tags and, some sort of like tag in, tag out system. I said, "Would you give the chiefs a presentation on that? We're arguing at the county level and we want a countywide solution." I said, "Sure." So I went home, I started digging up through all of my curriculum on that, because obviously there was like a class on how to do passport accountability tags. Took a break. I think we ran 4 or 5 calls after midnight and was just laying on my couch vegging out. I started playing Words with Friends on my iPhone, and Words with Friends is a Scrabble game for those who are not familiar, where you have a tray of letters, at the bottom, and then a Scrabble board at the top. And you just start dragging letters to spell a word. And then somebody, it doesn't matter who, they could be in any country in the world, start spelling words reflexively to yours. So I had been thinking about this presentation that I was going to give, and also thinking about how I've seen battalion chiefs do accountability with whiteboards and, you know, drawing E4 on one side of an axis and then crossing them out and putting them in fire attack. And I kept dragging tiles. And I was like, "Oh my God, that this is the future of accountability. It's not going to be on a whiteboards in my mind, humbly, you know, as a firefighter, I'm thinking those are going to be obsolete. There's got to be a better way. There's so much." I'd always watch my battalion chiefs like try to assemble the command post as like we're making entry into a fire and screaming for ventilation on the second floor. And it's like the command post dance, if you will, was such a nuanced, weird thing that everybody did differently. There was no standardization. So of course, communications are going to get lost. Of course, things are going to get lost in translation. Of course, when you're having a conversation with command on one radio and you've got traffic going, there's just going to be a lot going on. So I thought, gosh, we could really automate some of this stuff and it's not going to get in the way of firefighters being aggressive at all. So I started making drawings on butcher paper, and I had no expertise whatsoever in getting, and I knew iPads were coming. That was the other thing. I knew that there was like this tablet technology that was coming because my wife is a teacher and they were doing things on smart boards, which are basically like a touch screen where you're moving things around in front of the kids, you know, like real interactive board. This is coming. So, and shortly thereafter, Apple had announced that they were coming out with the iPad. And so I reached out after a few weeks of drawing and scribbling to our current CEO, whose name is Will Pigeon. And at the time, he was also a firefighter. He was actually in the academy before me at Contra Costa County Fire. We had both been promoted to captain in 2013, but I reached out to him in like 2010 when we were both sort of, engineers or, you know, firefighters or whatever. And I said, "Hey man, I've got this idea." So just to clarify the timeline, 2007, the line of duty deaths happened. about 2008-ish, 9-ish is when the outreach for that presentation happened. I think about 2010-ish, I reached out to Will, maybe late 2009, and said, hey, man, I've got this idea. I have no idea how to get these drawings onto an iPad. What do you think? It's an incident command solution. He said, man, that's brilliant. I think we should explore this further. So maybe we spent a year passing cocktail napkins back and forth, you know, over drinks or over, you know, breakfast at off duty. And then we kind of looked at each other, go, are we really doing this? Like, this is, are we like going to try and make a company around this? And so we decided to raise some money, which we did through friends and family. And what Tablet Command is today is about 850 fire departments around the United States and Canada. In for some departments, it's a two-way MDT replacement with way more situational awareness than we would ever have had in the early 2000s with our standard MDTs. It's early notification plus really rich map layers on your iPhone. It's navigation. And it's CAD integrated seamless incident command for the incident commanders that are using it as an incident command platform. So that's sort of how Tablet Command was born. It was born out of two line of duty desks for our own brothers and sisters. We're just constantly striving to be real, to be a real solution for real firefighters. We don't get in the way of aggressive operations, but we enhance that situational awareness and that communication that, that needs to surround those aggressive operations, if that makes sense.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You touched on it a little bit. You kind of had the foresight of seeing technology coming. And now I can only imagine, you know, being in this career longer than when I was around it. My dad and my uncle gone for 30 years or so before they retired. But now it seems the last 10 years we got Bluetooth in our masks now. Mm-hmm. There's different apps. The MCT keeps changing. There's tablets everywhere. What, as far as the integration portion with technology that's already pre-existing, what challenges do you have there?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the CAD integration is the hardest thing. It was the thing that we got the most immediate feedback when we released it. We released it as a standalone app in 2013. Like, hey, instead of using a yellow pad in your lap or a whiteboard, why don't you use this digital time-stamped solution? You have to add units still. And chiefs were coming by our booth in San Diego at Firehouse World. So you guys nailed it. I've always thought of something like this, but it has to be CAD integrated. And so, because what they were saying is, okay, you've made the leap that we've always thought of. Now take a further leap by making sure that I don't have to call for my arrival list for first alarm, second alarm, third alarm, fourth alarm. And, you know, you guys know in your part of the world, I don't know if I'm supposed to say where you work, but I know you have a lot of high rises and, you know, that, so that can lend itself to multiple alarms. Writing that down while people are giving fire reports on TAC channels and this and that, that is like so disruptive to the situational awareness that an incident commander or, you know, the ops chief, the ops section chief needs to have. They need to be looking at fire conditions and listening to your reports on the interior. They do not then need to be writing down some innumerable list of, you know, resources. So say that again, command. Say that one more time. Who's on the fourth alarm? Like, no way, man. That takes an incident commander's situational awareness out of there. So to answer your question, the CAD integration piece is tricky because, and I'll just say it, you know, since we're all firefighters here, CAD companies are starting to feel us a little bit as like, are you threatening our bottom line here? So integration, for the most part, has been seamless with the big companies because they have an API integration, but that's been the biggest challenge. The other challenge is we've mainly dwelled in an iOS platform, but that's about to change. Wink, nudge, hint. You know, we are embracing other platforms, but IT managers on the agency side of things haven't been the most embracing of supporting iOS technology, even though iOS technology, it has had a track record of giving us better information faster.
100%. It's funny. I switched. I'm an Android guy. Have been for, I think Link is too, forever. And about a year ago, I switched over and I was at an Apple. I'm like, wow, everything on here is the apps, the apps work seamlessly. Like, yeah. It flows so much smoother. The phone isn't as good. I mean, I'm biased, but I noticed that immediately that it didn't run as smooth when it came to other apps. Kind of like apps are specifically made for iOS.
Yeah.
And then they end up secondarily going to the other Android, the other platforms later on.
Our entire department is Apple, right? Like
not our MCTs,
but like our cell phones, our tablets, everything's Apple. So yeah. It would just make sense that maybe we do something with our MCTs, make them Apple too, and then we're just stuck in the Apple ecosystem, right?
I think it's a heat issue.
With the heat thing, we got, because I, Antioch, now, notice, Vegas is hot. Your part of the world is hot. We have consistently triple digit days in the summer, and we have iOS devices mounted up front. Yes, if you pull it off of the magnet mount and put it face up on the doghouse with sun rays, you're going to shut the thing down. No questions. The way you mount it, and now we're working with another company that has come up with this really amazing cooling case that's really affordable. And so basically it takes care of that last piece. But we do have fire departments all over the Southeast that also are very, very hot climate-wise. And also in Southern California, basically an extension of your part of the world. They do the very technical thing of just throwing a dark t-shirt over the top of it when they're parked, going into the store or whatever. There are workarounds to the heat issue and just the way that you mount it. But that is a quick go-to. It's like, oh, we can't do iOS, the heat. We're hotter than anyone in the planet. And it's like, okay, we get you. And we have, desert California departments that are rolling with iOS devices mounted in the front of their rigs. So love to put you in touch with them to get their experience. And that's kind of how we, we'll roll that along.
I will definitely reach out, because that was a topic of conversation about 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were talking about it. Because, again, in the rig, mounted, if something's powered, whether it's a fan or something, because the other side of that is we've been using a different software for our academies.
Uh-huh.
And we have those ice pack cases, but we're trying to swap the ice packs in and out of the back of it. You're in the middle of a test and the thing just shuts down and goes live. You're like, oh my gosh, this isn't good. So we've seen it, that the heat is not kind to iPads, but
no,
definitely, like you said, definitely the future. You did mention the getting feedback from chiefs while at conferences. Has there been a time where there's been a feedback moment where you guys were able to actually adapt the software and actually saw some benefits from specific feedback that you've gotten?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can go from most recent to CAD integration was the very first thing that chiefs were giving us. Hey, it's got to be CAD integrated. And so your units, when you ask for first, second, third alarm, all those units are auto-populated because it's CAD integrated. So that was direct feedback from, our brothers and sisters at large. Most recently, you might have looked at our templates, our tactical worksheets, which was also a feedback-based feature. When you're running a high rise from left to right, the horizontal axis will read like IC, lobby, base, division, staging, whatever, horizontally. Well, there were a lot of agencies that also have many high rises said, hey, can you just invert that? Can you just tilt that so that lobby is actually at the bottom of the TAC worksheet and roof is at the top? So we're able to tick that now to make it appear, have verticality to our high rise management template. our acknowledgement button, the acknowledge button, was direct feedback from a direct customer that was very, very large, that said, we will go with Tablet Command if you can build that button. And since a lot of the, I mean, they loved the basic infrastructure, they were very excited about, you know, the majority of the fires that all of us run in the United States are residential structure fires. So it already suited their needs for that. But whether it's a residential structure fire, commercial structure fire, if you have a collapse or power lines down on the alpha side and someone's about to step on one and get killed, you know, generally what would happen then is, hey, everybody, emergency traffic. I got power lines on the alpha side. Do not approach from the alpha side, whatever it is. And then in our agency, at least, and I think for a lot of agencies, the dispatchers would then have to send out a warble tone and then say, engine one, do you copy? Truck 17, do you copy? Engine 82, do you copy? You know, and so now everybody's got to copy that. So to save some of that radio bandwidth, especially for those first arrivings on scene that may be in rescue mode or whatever it is, we put in an acknowledge button so we could just acknowledge electronically that everybody received that. And then the dispatchers can say, hey, we got a full roll call of everybody receiving that emergency traffic through the acknowledge button. Splitting crews is another one where, and a lot of these were things that, because we are like one of the things that I'm going to shamelessly plug here and jab a little bit. We are fire aficionados. We are not Silicon Valley first or New York City first that said, man, fire department's really cool. I think we should do some fire department software and creating problems that don't exist for you guys. We have our origins in the fire service. We have retirees from City of San Francisco. We have people working for us from very large Midwest fire departments, the Seattle metro area. We have currently working for Sacramento. We have about 200 plus years of fire service experience in our organization of Tablet Command, not as advisors, as real roll up your sleeves working people. Yes, of course, we have like software engineers that work for us, but everything that they're producing for us is coming from our iteration as fire service professionals, not only in our own experiences running fires, whether it's residential structure fires, high-rise fires, hazardous materials incidents, MCIs. We go to wildland fires where we have innumerable resources from all over the country flooding in, needing to be sorted out. So we've had that experience. We've been on USAR deployments as task force members around the country. So we're bringing all that to the table. Can we boil the ocean, you know, with gazillions of dollars in our, you know, bank? No, we have to kind of build these things in. But also we recognize, like, with the fire service, with you guys, and I mean like you two guys, plus everybody that we relate to around the country. It's like, if I gave you the full book right now, it's like way too overwhelming. You're not, you know, it's kind of the funny thing is, like, we all use Microsoft Word and we all use like 7 features, but it has like 1,000 features to it. I just use 7, you know, like it's so, you know, we are, one of the things I love about being a firefighter is we are 200 years of tradition unimpeded by progress. I love that. And we also recognize with all of our vast experience as firefighters that you have to sort of introduce change methodically and you have to get that buy-in with that change. And really what Tablet Command was early on, and it's a very funny story that I can, you know, there's some expletives in it and I can just not use the expletives, but we want to put it in front of you. And I mean the two of you, in addition to everybody else, say, is this BS? Will you really use this, or do we need to go back to the drawing board with this? And because we're firefighters and those other companies that are producing, you know, other applications out there, they're not. I mean, you know, they might have an advisor or two, but they're not working guys and gals with their sleeves up on the line, like pulling ceiling and crawling down dark hallways or being up on roofs, opening up, you know, for the crews below. And so we understand what you're telling us when you say, hey, I want to split crews. Okay. Yep. Or, hey, I've got a truck and a rescue showing up. I need to break them all up so that I got a couple folks on rigging. I've got somebody on the edge. I've got two rescuers that are, you know, going over the side. whatever it is, we're listening because, and we already talked that lingo. You don't have to draw it out for us. I'd love to, but like when you say, oh, I need to rescue a window washer, I don't need to sit back and go, what does that mean? You know, like I know exactly what that means. You know, and so how do you want that manifested in your software so it doesn't get in the way, so you can get to work right away and your incident commanders know where you are? That's kind of the software. That's the kind of software that we are attempting to build. And I think so far we've been pretty successful.
Has Tablet Command made it into like Wildland or like FEMA, deployments? Cause I mean, I feel like you could build a huge command system or tracking system off of that.
So where we've made a big dent and we're going further is through Cal OES. So I was on the Calder fire, on a captain on a engine as part of a strike team. It's funny too, because we're on a Type 1 strike team. So like the first couple of days we were in structure protection mode. And then they said, oh, okay, no, that's great. Thanks for protecting those structures. We're putting you on 12s. Park your engines down this Forest Service road. You are hiking for days. But at morning briefing every morning, what was great about Tablet Command is I would get pulled aside by division soups, who happen to be Tablet Command customers. For example, and I don't think you'll mention or mind if I mention his name, Graham Groneman, works for Marin County Fire across the bay from me. And he was the division supervisor for Lima. And, you know, he had rigs spread all over the place. And he could see them through AVL with Tablet Command. We were posting maps every morning in the Tablet Command platform so the Tablet Command customers could see the updated incident map. We were used as part of the structural collapse in, I think it was called the Surfside Apartments in Florida, because the FEMA task force team there had adopted it independently. And so, and we have, like, I'm a fledgling member, just brand new, getting into Task Force 4 here in Oakland. But we have a Task Force 3 guy who's part of our staff. And so we're starting to have those conversations. It's a larger animal. But again, it was one of those things where, yeah, can we do some web-based thing where you're keyboarding all day long? Yeah. Is that what we want to do? For you to know. And so, you know, we wanted to make it that same seamless interface that you're experiencing now in your own agency in the 850 plus agencies around the US and Canada. So yes, we're having those conversations. We've started with Cal OES and we're hoping to expand beyond into the FEMA world.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it FEMA being fantastic too, especially like some sort of rescue soup in a forward position, being able to manage teams and then having like at the IST command man post, be able to manage all their forward positions, all their operation. I mean, that just be the natural breakdown of how the incident command structure works through Tablet Command would make that monster mobile, right? You'd be able to have that working boss, be able to manage his people on his phone in a forward position, essentially, which would be pretty rad. So.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of that functionality built in now, just even management on the phone. We have an integration with a company called FireMapper, and it originally was an Australian company that originally conceived their product through management of wildfires in New South Wales. You know, just kind of blow through Australia. Well, we integrated with them, but I've used it on my phone. I've drawn active shooter maps. We had an active shooter in San Pablo. So I was able to draw my hot zone, my warm zone, my cold zone, and then stage all my rigs out there. That was just on my phone. And then I had another incident where I had a boom truck pull down, you know, huge transmission lines on top of houses and neighborhoods. And we needed to, you know, check off every house that we had made contact with. And I was able to use that functionality as well in the Tablet Command platform. And then that platform got shared across the entire agency for responding resources. So that the seeds are planted in the soil for that larger platform that you referenced. And it's coming. We're working really hard to get there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome.
So just as far as I know, you mentioned that 850 or so departments using the system. What have been the challenges? Because obviously, high stress situation. Pen and paper. I know if I put this pen down, if it doesn't work, I chuck it, grab another one. But the paper's gonna work every time. Is there anything that you guys provide as far as training or different types of systems in place to get individuals comfortable like yourself that are battalion chiefs with that becoming first nature, grabbing the tablet first? Is there any training or stuff you guys implement to cause that?
100%. We have a lot of different references on our website. So if you forget how to do this functionality or that functionality, you can access. But we are a personal touch company and we're composed of firefighters. And if you call us today, if you called your sales rep today and said, "We want training on incident command, we'll figure out what works best for you. Do you want us to show up tomorrow on Zoom? Do you want us to show up next month in person and conduct a training across all shifts?" When we have a very specific training regimen when we onboard a new customer. We offer the we it's not even an offer, it's like required, because how many times have you both experienced something new and it's like, "Here's this thing, use it," and you're like, whether it's a new implement on the rescue or it's a new piece of technology, you didn't receive that personal training. So we really require that when we onboard a new customer, we're training you in how to build your own templates and checklists and integrate your department policies and procedures within those templates and checklists. And when I say templates, the reason I call it a template is really what it is a tactical worksheet. So your tactical worksheet or residential structure fire basically drives fire attack, ventilation, search and rescue, and RIC at some point there, along with some of the other peripheral components like a medical group or rehab or whatever. So we'll teach you how to build that, especially if your department in its policies and procedures said, "You're going to address fire attack first, get a primary search going, check for extension, and make sure you got a ventilation plan." That's across the top. And then you probably have a lot of checklists that go along with that, like, "Hey, we want to hear a 360 over the air. Hey, we want to hear a size up in conditions, in route, on scene, and updated. Hey, we want to hear that utilities are secure. Hey, we want to know that you addressed 2-hour RIC." So those are all checklist items. And so when you combine a checklist with a tactical worksheet, we call that a template. And we show you how to build those templates. Every incident commander that you have in your agency has been doing that on pencil and paper, or up here. But there's no shared standardization with that. So we show you guys how to do that. And then we'll then walk your agency how to use everything. So, whether it's a cadre of experts that's then going to go out, train the trainer setting that's going to go out and then train you all. And at any point, if you feel like there's been a gap and, "Hey, tablet command has changed, but we haven't, we missed the update or we didn't read the release notes or whatever," you want to call your, sales rep. They'll send their fire-based person down there. More for you guys specifically, it's a retired deputy chief who was a user, and one of the most solid operators. I got to work for him as a firefighter. He's one of the most solid operators, and he's your guy. But we have guys like that deployed all over the place that will offer that ongoing training per request. So the short answer is, we require pretty much onboarding training for every component, and then we offer ongoing training as we build in new features or as we expand your licensing or expand your product, within your agency.
Yeah, Art, when we got it, it had to have been around probably 4 years ago. Our chiefs were all pretty, our battalion chiefs were all pretty open to it. Like they grabbed it right away and picked it up and started using it as soon as they could. There wasn't much resistance. I mean, I feel like it's, and I've only used it a couple times, just, doing some training with the battalion chief. So I don't use it that much, but it's a pretty easy software to pick up and use. So, I mean, it's really user friendly.
Just the initial thought that I just had, because we have battalion chief aides. I'm not sure if that's a common thing throughout the country. But when it's, when it's integrated into your MVT or your MCT, when units are arriving, I know on that left side, that box changes colors when they get there.
Yeah.
If that's my MCT and I'm a battalion chief driving, do I have the ability to simply, while driving, click and drag that box into a fire control or fire attack? And just in that way, I'm tracking while driving that easily.
Yeah. And I have to just say, as a disclaimer, I may have known someone who's done that, but it's not safe to do that, but it's very easy to do that. So if you hear, and again, I'm not endorsing driving and using software at the same time. I can endorse that because that would be, but theoretically, wink, nudge, if you're driving and, dispatch reports suddenly multiple callers with victims trapped on the second floor, and engine two arrives and goes into rescue mode, entering into the alpha side, whatever it is, and you want to acknowledge that as you're driving, it is very, I mean, literally the operation that you're talking about is three clicks. It's opening up the incident. It's managing the incident. Okay, four clicks. It's selecting a residential structure fire template or whatever you design. You guys might have a structure fire template with rescue. And then it literally is, because what comes for us, at least I'm willing to bet a beer that this is true for you as well. The second that dispatch starts announcing that there's, multiple callers and reports of victims trapped, that goes to a second alarm, right? So that auto-populates as well. That's being seen across your entire agency, what units have been assigned. You can then look at a map through AVL and see as they're, kind of closing in on that address. The cool thing about having it as, I'm getting a little off track, but the cool thing about having that on your MDC, since we're talking about it while you're driving, if you're the captain in the right seat and you're not driving, you might be the captain of the truck. You can zoom in on a very crisp, very detail-oriented aerial map and look at what that structure looks like from an aerial view. Get a sense of roof profiles and, where power lines are and where you're going to throw your ladders and that kind of thing, because that's going to be really important. You can kind of sort of get a sense of where your windows are going to be for something like a VES operation. We're looking at frontal views. We haven't done that. We haven't integrated that yet, but that is something that we're getting a lot of requests for. And again, we listen, so I've got, four specific examples where, we're listening to customers and then building in that integration. But yeah, to answer your question, Nick, it is as simple as dragging engine one on scene in rescue mode into fire attack or, into VES or whatever it's going to be.
Awesome. So looking forward, just as far as we were talking about technology and what the possibilities are, what do you see as where this is going and what are going to be possibilities in the near future?
Yeah, so, we touched on a little bit earlier with this expanding into a FEMA platform. We know that agencies sort of sit dormant for a long time. And when I say dormant, I mean they sort of, they run their own calls with their agency, but to interact with other agencies, that can be a long span of time. And so, crossing that bridge into that other platform, that other, customer base, so to speak. For us, it happens a lot in California with the wild, every summer, it doesn't matter if you're a city of San Francisco firefighter in the fog, running, row home fires, you might be mobilized that day to cross the bridge into the East Bay and start defending structures. So the ability to share an incident and just automatically and magically populate your device with that incident and for those units to appear in the incident command platform is the thing that we've bitten off and we're trying to chew now. We're trying to get that incident sharing piece up and running. Individual management of groups and divisions is really important. We mentioned it in the forward operation setting for a structural collapse. But we also, you know, get reps on that every summer as a division Kilo or a division Lima in a wildland fire, you know, for high rise oriented fire departments. You know, division 13 gets a handful of units. They're going to want to deploy those units the way that they want to deploy them. They don't just necessarily want to know that that's their shopping list, but that, you know, you've got, you know, three engines working on clearing units on the right while two units or two engines or a truck and an engine are working on knocking down the fire, in the fire unit and the adjacent unit. So, you know, a division soup being able to individually manage those units is really important. The big picture is we want the entire world on Tableau Command, but, you know, we want at least the United States and Canada on Tableau Command as an incident command platform. You know, we have the mutual aid system in California. We frequently draw on units from Nevada, Arizona, Oregon, Washington to help us out. And we're grateful for that. You know, we would always probably gladly lend units in your direction for assistance and to be able to be on that situational awareness platform that's not keyboard-based, that's not web-based, that's actionable, that's mobile, that's real-time. That's really where we're going with this technology. And so we hope to sort of continue to lead in that space because we're humble. You know, we understand that we've run calls in our little realm of our world, but there's a whole other world out there, whether it's, you know, St. Louis or the Florida Panhandle or the Northeast or the Midwest, and they all will have a different way of doing business, but we all have basically the same mission, which is life, property, environment, right? And so how can we get on a platform that helps us accomplish that mission in the most efficient way? So we're really trying to knit all these agencies with at least the ability to work together when they need to work together, but to live within their own domains, which is where they, you know, 99% of the time, that's where they do their business. So that's kind of the bigger picture. I'd say the most pressing features that are coming soon would be that incident sharing feature, landing in a different domain, immediately appearing on that incident, and then sort of being in that larger sort of OES, you know, Office of Emergency Service / FEMA landscape.
How far do you think we are from, I mean, my watch is tiny. It's got a GPS tracker in it. How far are we from our air packs either attaching something to it or being built in where somebody hits their mayday and your tablet will go, bing, this went off. He's right. He or she is right there. How far are we from that?
We're close. The technology exists on both sides. We have the great interface that is recognizable. As you mentioned earlier, you used it. It's easy to use. We have that recognizable interface. The last thing I want to show you are a bunch of breadcrumbs rolling all over, you know, or a bunch of dots rolling all over that interface. You want it when you want it, but, and they have the telemetry, they meaning the SCBA companies, and we're talking about the best way to show that to an incident commander, as you said, right now, when they want it, you know, triggering that sort of mayday response within the platform while the mayday actions are happening on the fire ground. And what does that look like so that it is, again, simple, seamless, recognizable, and enhances your operations, doesn't make you pause and now have to like look down in the software and, you know, and that's kind of, that had been the challenge. It's really funny. These companies with all this money, you look at some of their initial rollouts and you're like, that, what? I don't, you know, you don't understand where the thinking is there. And I would say that that's an opinion shared by most firefighters. You know, we're all looking for something simple that sort of lays it out. So to answer your question, we're close. We got to get the interface right, though, before we roll it out.
I guess lastly would be a small minute thing that I've noticed with it, and I've asked some of our VCs about it. Order of arrival.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just something that some of us have brought up? Is that a common thing? Do people not care? Because as far as it changing colors, but it doesn't place the blocks in order in which people arrived. Is that something that is a feature that will be added? Is it something that just a nitpicky thing that some of us have just noticed? And when I say us, I don't use it at all. That's just one of the things I noticed. So I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a conversation that's come up with different agencies as we visited them. It hasn't been a pressing deal breaker. It doesn't mean it's not important to us. We're just adding even large software companies have orders of priority, but that's something that, if at the ops level or at the committee level, if you guys decide, hey, order of arrival is really important for A, B, and C, and I could probably write an essay about that right now, why it's important. Then that would be a discussion. So just kind of addressing the broader theme here, an agency decides that something is really important to them and they either are or are going to be Tablet Command customers. That's something where we'll sit down with them and say, okay, say more about that. And we'll put all of our firefighters on sort of that panel discussion. And then if it's something where we're like, yeah, that's not unique. This department, that department, and this other department have all talked about that. Then we'll bring our tech folks in. We'll do what's called like a tech discovery. Like, what's the timeline? What is the interface that you were imagining similar to the interface that we're showing you in terms of like a mock-up? And then that's kind of how that rolls when an agency sort of brings forth a feature suggestion or a feature requirement. We don't always say yes, but in general, fire professionals and large professional departments kind of share the same vision. And that's been an interesting phenomenon to witness in rolling out this software. So yes, order arrival has come up. Is it a high priority given these other things that are like incident sharing and, you know, pack telemetry? It's probably a little lower in priority, but it's something that within your cadre, you guys decide you want to talk to us about, we will sit down and talk to you immediately about.
Well, we kind of talked about it before we even started recording, but it sounds like that could even be cured if you had Tablet Command on your MDT, because then you could place your unit where you are. A lot of times, especially if we're going to like an apartment or multiple alarms, our chiefs, it's one of our requirements is that we announce our arrival. A lot mm-hmm. of times our chiefs would be like, hey, I can see when you get here on the Tablet Command units, no further needed to announce arrivals, right? And then they just have their list kind of, and they have an idea of where we're coming from, but they don't know how we're stacked outside of an apartment complex or in level two staging. So
yep.
If we were able to move ourselves, like, hey, we're going to be behind engine six out here on, you know, wherever, Sahara, the chiefs would be able to look and say, hey, oh, truck six, why don't you come forward or whatever, or engine six, why don't you come forward?
Come so into the physically apartment complex. Moving a box or a tile and having a different, kind of like Monopoly pieces where they're different shapes, you know, the difference between an engine and a truck, and you can go, I'm right here.
Clip or if there's a square that says E6 or T6, right? You could just put it where you...
Well, what you guys are talking about is our AVL technology, which is existent right now. Like, I have a beautiful graphic. I don't know if we have time for it or if you want to edit it in there, but I do have a beautiful graphic of what that looks like for agencies that have Tablet Command as their MDT, where we have units stacked up on an access road, and the access to the fire is like a right turn about at the hydrant, you know, maybe 50 yards ahead, but they basically are in level two stage. And that's what AVL, Tablet Command with AVL, and everybody using it as an MDT, that's what it looks like.
Sorry, Andy, can you share? Are you able to?
Would you like me to pull that up?
That'd be awesome.
Take me a sec. Let me grab my hard drive here. So what you're talking about is with ABL, this is actually, so this was a commercial structure fire. And you can see the cluster, the fire. Can you see my mouse moving?
Yeah.
Okay. So the cluster of units working on that fire, is here. And then you have all your units sort of stacked up here. You know, in level two stage, if you will, but also just lined up in, you know, different orders. So you can see physically, if we zoom in, you can physically see, and this is just a big overview. You can zoom in even closer to this, and see where these, you know, units are actually placed. So this was a really large fire we had a little while ago. Now, across the bottom here, you also had units that, I think this was a commercial structure that also got into the veg, and it was just a mess. We get really gnarly west winds on hot afternoons. So 100-degree day with, you know, 15-knot winds that just truck down the Sacramento River. And we'll, you know, it's not uncommon to have three houses going at once, you know, from a homeless encampment fire that then got out and then, you know, or homeless encampment, it started in the homeless encampment, it spread, it got into the veg and then started burning a neighborhood. So now these icons here, you can drag onto the map anywhere you want, as well, but this is just it in the, you know, sort of the map view with ABL only, and you can drill down as deep as you want. So that's kind of what we were talking about with regard to arrival order. I want to look at some other images here that are worth sharing as well, just in terms of that large incident. Okay, can we see? Yeah, there we go. I guess we can see this here. If we zoom in here, this was the Calder fire. Okay, so you have units from San Diego, San Bernardino County, you know, you've got Cal Fire units, those are 1540. You've got units from, you know, all over California, essentially, that are collaborating on this incident. And that's where, and again, this is just a high level view. You can drill down as deep as you want, but you can see where these units are just kind of spread across a very large landscape. You can get as granular as you want, and you can get as, let's see if I can come up. Okay. And so here's another, this is a live commercial structure fire. Make sure I'm in your field of view here. There we go. Here's a very large commercial structure fire. You've got Battalion 8, Safety Officer 2, Safety Officer 1. And then here's all your different alarm levels. You can see they're in various states of response. So this is Tablet Command as your MDT. And this is me looking. I'm way out in Battalion 7. I'm miles away from Battalion 8, so I'm not in this incident. But, you know, this is what it looks like. You've got your third alarm. You've got, you know, your different states of responding. Gray means that they're on scene. What the incident commander didn't do a great job of is, and it looks like this went to an exterior operations pretty quickly, but they didn't turn these back to green. And this green, yellow, red LED indicator is really us. We built this into the software back in 2013, forecasting that someday we were going to be able to tap into pack telemetry and be able to allow the user to see different air levels. So in a lot of ways, the interface is there, but we just are using it as your basic unit timer right now. So everyone has sort of surpassed their 20 minutes. And if they indeed were working, you know, on the exterior, the incident, but if they were interior, the incident commander would want to update these to green again and make sure that they were doing active PAR checks on these units. If they were working inside Division Alpha or inside Division Charlie, you know, and doing actual operations in the IDLH.
And is that, is that number, sorry to cut you off, Andy, is that number adjustable? So if we were to do a department-wide air consumption test,
Yeah.
That's actually built on talking about activity. And we figured out, hey, we have about a 5 minute travel time, 8.5 minute working time, exit time, emergency time. Well, if we break down into our four and say, hey, you know what? We're instead of going 20 minutes, we're going to make this box turn red at 14 and a half. That's doable.
That's doable right in here in the settings button right here. You open that up and then you're able to adjust it any way you want. Because, you know, for veg fires, we might just say, all right, we're going to rehab these guys after an hour of work, you know, so we're going to break that down into 15 minute intervals. Or hazardous materials, you know, we might adjust that. But yeah, you can adjust your defaults right here in the settings. So that department wide, again, you guys are working in a very hot environment. You can say, all right, the total work time before they have to, you know, physically DC from their mask, be out of the IDLH and walking to rehab is going to be 24 minutes. So we're going to break that down into, you know, 4 6-minute blocks. So after 12 minutes, it's going to turn yellow. That's kind of an uh-oh. All right. These guys should be making their way out of the building right now, or at least we need to be handing off to another crew. So you guys can do that. That's all adjustable within that. And we kind of figured, you know, even though we have 45 minute bottles where we work, it is, you know, triple digits in the summer. And, you know, we're gassed after pretty, you know, after about 10 minutes of work, you know, we turn yellow. So if you drag engine 81 into the interior into fire attack, after about 10 minutes of work, those guys, first of all, in a residential structure fire, that smoke better be turning colors, you know, within 5 minutes anyway. And if they're in there and there's still a lot of black smoke and it's cranking away and these guys suddenly turn yellow, I better have a solid report on interior conditions as to why I'm not getting a change and what these guys are doing. Otherwise, I'm thinking as an incident commander, I better think about changing tactics. So.
And so can the units like engine 187 right there, can they see the assignments? If they're traveling to this call, can they see
that?
They can see, they see this screen en route. They see
everybody in your department that has tablet command sees that. And even on your phone, and I can't, here, let me see if I can pull up an incident. For a live incident on your phone. So I've got TC Mobile right now. Let me see if there's anything working in my agency right now. Otherwise, I'll just kind of have to dummy it for you. All right. So this is just an EMS PD code 2, but on the bottom here in units, you'll see, and if, especially if you have staffing integration, I do believe you guys do, you'll see who is assigned to what in the units view. And you'll also see Division Alpha with Engine 81, Truck 81, Engine 83. So there's a long scroll accountability on your phone. So if you're working in an entirely different battalion, you can still see who's working where. This was a huge multi-alarm. I think this went to 4 alarms for us because it got into the veg. We had, you know, water... shuttle operations. We had a medical group because we had, you know, I think we had a few of the homeless population was, you know, injured. We had folks work. I think what happened is they got into one of our abandoned warehouses, set it on fire. It was a windy night. It threw off embers. It got into the veg. And so we had a commercial, abandoned commercial structure fire with life inside. It had also expanded into the nearby vegetation. So this was kind of a, I think I actually got moved to cover a battalion from my furthest battalion out. We used other agencies to slide into my battalion, and then I slid into other agencies because we dumped a couple battalions on this one.
Oh, awesome. Well, yeah. Thank you, Andy, so much for joining us today.
Appreciate
again,
it.
Again, if anybody has any questions, are you good with us sharing your email with
100%. Yeah, awesome. It's really easy. I'm andy@tabletcommand.com, and you can look us up at tabletcommand.com. We are on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I think we're just starting a presence in Threads. I don't know if there's any Threads heads out there, but we're in all your social media channels, Twitter. We'll come to you. We'll give Zoom demos. We were just at FDIC. We're going to be at Metro Chiefs coming up here really soon. So just come find us. You know, we're firefighters. We talk your lingo. And, you know, we're not perfect, but we want to get it right for you. So please, please just reach out to us.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot, everyone.